Okay. The question was using some sort of a real video type of client on the server and taking that and encoding it and throwing that through Bo Peep and using that instead of the actual Bo Peep itself. Conceptually, how hard it would be to code depends, I guess, on how skilled of a coder somebody is. But it's, again, feasible to do something like that. You could almost feasibly write a DLL that would watch a quick cam, and instead of dumping it to a box on the screen, you could almost dump that down a Bo Peep-style plugin and open up a window on your machine and almost watch a very slow, choppy, real-time video of somebody sitting at their computer typing. So you could actually go so far as to build in something like that as well. Yeah, that's what I was actually aiming towards, was using like the quick cam on the remote machine and actually having a DLL hijack that feed instead of going to hard disk on the local or yours, is actually run it over the wire. So you've had your hand up for a while. You mean under NT? Yeah, that was actually, Dildog actually explained in very great detail yesterday exactly how that's accomplished. And it can be done, and it will write itself as an actual system process. We can try to find him later, and he can give you the actual rundown on that if you'd like. But it is possible, and it does work. Yes? I'm actually waiting for a Blowfish plugin myself. Theoretically, not too hard. Again, everything on this is completely open. It's completely open source. It is GPL. You can write DLLs for it left and right using the software development kit, which will make things very easy. You can the entire source code for BO itself is going to be made available, so you could actually almost hard code it in if you were so inclined. But Blowfish encryption should not be too hard to implement. I'm just thinking, just the way people think and work, it'll probably be out in a few weeks, if not sooner. So, yeah.
On the find file feature, mm-hmm. Is there a way to dice it so it doesn't interfere with what the unit is currently doing?
The question is there a way to nice the find file feature so it doesn't interfere with what the user is doing? To my knowledge, there is not. Okay, BO2K runs below normal priority, so anything that it executes will also fall at that point or lower and will not interfere that much with anything going on the user side. I have noticed in doing it that they will pick up, you know, obvious noticeable hard disk activity. But also, if you wanted to poke around a certain directory or a certain portion of a tree, you can use the directory listing and type in the path that you're looking at and manually look for files in there, or using the graphical BO tool when that comes out. The file browser in that is really magnificent too, so that'll cut down on a lot.
It's Windows. Will they even notice?
Is it possible to change that priority?
Is it possible to change the priority? I would imagine since the source code is available, you could code it to run at a different level inside it. It currently is set to run, like we said, lower, and it does grab the OS at ring zero, but that should obviously be modifiable as well. Yeah?
Yesterday, the slides mentioned ICMPIO. Is that done, or is that still like something
quite... Dildog? Dill? ICMPIO, is that implemented? Okay, the question was, is the ICMPIO that was discussed yesterday available, and that will be coming out in the Loft Heavy Industries pack when that's available. So, yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, the first question was, as a network administrator, how do I protect myself from this? A few of the obvious ones would be the same way you protect yourself from any virus, aside from actual virus scanning, is cut yourself off from the outside world as much as you can while still allowing work to be done in a fair and reasonable fashion. Limit any mail attachments that are over a certain size. Anything over a certain size can be sent to an administrator and assistant for manual review. Educate your users. The human factor is always going to be the downfall. And that's why BO spread so fast in the first place. That's why an Australian ISP had 79% of their machines infected, of their clients. People aren't exactly the sharpest creatures sometimes, so educate your users not to be downloading stuff off the web or restrict their access to sites they only need to perform their job duties. But just simple common sense that you would use to keep anything else out of your network that you don't want in. If you're really concerned about it, you can try to block off all ports that you don't need on your firewall, but then again, this can be configured to run over port 80, and that combined with Netcat, you can actually use to open connections from the inside as well. So there are always going to be some sort of loopholes that people are going to try to get through. The other question was, how do I use this as a LAN administrator while avoiding the antivirus utilities? There is a big push on this to make this seen as being as legitimate of a administration tool as possible. And frankly, I completely find it to be one. I've been using VO to admin my network since it came out last year. I've been helping with this for the last 2 months, and it's actually helped me at work quite a bit. I've got a Novell network with about 200 Win95 boxes on it, and it's made my life a lot easier. As for protecting yourself from the virus side of it, the antivirus side, it's a tough one. If people start throwing signatures in, it's going to be getting hit. If you have a skilled coder handy that can modify the source code so it will not generate the same file signature, you can try to step around it that way. And there's also hope that ideally companies will not bow to Microsoft and include it as being an actual virus, because when you consider when the newest version of NetBus came out, several companies were actually saying, because the guy decided to charge for it finally and call it an administration tool, that it suddenly was one just because he changed the name on it. And it still is useful or malicious a tool as BackOrifice was or PC Anywhere can be. And, you know, the fact that he, the author of it, even went so far as to say that, you know, mess with your friends by ejecting their CD-ROM constantly. Doesn't sound like something that an administration tool would have included in its README file, but virus companies still thought that it was legitimate enough to not include it. Ideally, this product will be stepping up to the plate and taking on some of the heavy hitters like PC Anywhere, which, in my experience, over a using it over a LAN at 100 megabit remote control the desktop was still choppy and painful at best. This is much smoother and better, I find, and a lot more handy to use than PC Anywhere. And also one thing was MSNBC had an article quoting someone, and I forget who in the company he was with, pointing out how this is nothing more than another malicious tool because it runs stealth and can be configured to not show up in the process list or on the taskbar or anything of the sort. And as Dildog pointed out yesterday, Microsoft incorporated that ability on purpose due to a wide range of customer requests. And something I pointed out to MSNBC, IBM has a package called the Netfinity Manager, which sells for upwards of $10,000 for a small set of licenses that run stealth. And as a network administrator, I know that I've had users, I have it set to open their email in their startup folder, and several of them are under the habit of booting their machine, closing everything, and then bitching at me that they haven't gotten email for 3 days. So users can easily defeat an administration utility either maliciously or completely by accident. So the fact that it runs stealth is right up there with the big leagues with IBM and Hewlett-Packard and their desktop administration utilities. So hopefully the virus companies will take a clue and not decide to just sweepingly ban this and let it grow and be what it can legitimately be used for. Yeah?
Just wanted to interject there. There are some solid
Okay.
Doesn't it still show up under run services or run registry?
Currently, yes. So, yes. It has to start somehow, and that's how it does load right now. He asked if it does load itself into the registry key and to run services like BackOrifice did originally, and the answer is yes, it does. So if you think you or a machine that you admin or a friend's machine might be infected, you can check there. Check the five or so items that are typically in run services and compare them against file sizes or anything fishy that's sitting in the Windows system directory and see if it's BO or BO2K or not. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Why go through all that trouble just to set up an exclusion in the virus software to the file name?
Okay, a good point was just brought up that some virus packages that do run over LANs for large settings, you can exclude certain files, and you could easily just include this in an excluded file as well and not have to worry about it. By default, the name of it is umgr32.exe, and if a virus scanner was to look for that or consider that to be something that would match a signature, you could easily rename it to your initials, the initials of your company, your phone extension number. You can rename the server to anything you want and include your specific file size, because there's a chance that anybody that tries to take your network may have different DLLs loaded than you do, and they would obviously not match up to your exact file. So, yes. Currently, the question was, any plans on merging Hijack and Bo Peep? Right now, Bo Peep consists of two separate portions of it that actually make up Bo Peep, and one is the video Hijack and one is the keyboard Hijack. And as I actually had them open, you can run the two windows side by side. You can shrink the Hijack client out of the way. You can shrink the actual BO2K desktop that we have open right now completely out of the way and have nothing but the vid screen open and hijack the keyboard. Sometimes you do want to hijack video and not keyboard, just to monitor a user, or say, you know, if you're on your intercom with them, say, show me what you're doing so I can see what you're doing wrong, and you can actually walk them through it and attempt to educate them at the same time and see where they're messing up. So you don't always want to take control of the keyboard. But the two can run simultaneously side by side, and it's not a problem. So, back. The question was options on blinking the user's screen. That is not part of BO2K. You could probably as easily, again, not to sound repetitive, write a DLL or modify the Bo Peep DLL to include a blinking option. Although, by and large, for the most part, as an administrative tool, that's rarely called for, because if you have control of a user's desktop, you're logged in as the user with their permission, so you're not going to be touching any part of the network that they shouldn't be seeing anyways. And ideally, one thing that I'm big on is not just fixing my problems, but ideally trying to educate my users so they can work more efficiently themselves. So I personally like having the video displayed so they can see what I'm doing and hopefully learn something and not have the same problem again in the future. But blinking screen is something that you could probably easily build in. Or you could just manually launch the blink screen screensaver. Yeah. And stream it out, you mean? The question was doing live keyboard logging and having it actually dump live over a stream to your client instead of writing it to a file. That's something that could feasibly be done through a DLL, but the problem you would run into is if you leave the DLL running and you shut your server off or the connection breaks, it may cause a problem or network congestion on the server side. So.
Just watch it on the video.
Yeah, you could just watch in real time. That could work. I haven't tried it. So theoretically it could be there, and if not, a DLL could probably take care of it. So in back?
Yeah, are there any new non-contract
I'm sorry, I can't hear you too well.
Are there any new non-interactive down-the-wire deployment capabilities?
Live down-the-wire...
What? Non-interactive deployment capabilities.
Non-interactive deployment capabilities down the line. Yes and no. If you're doing it as a LAN administrator, what I've done is I with the original BO, which had the auto delete built in and there was nothing you could do, I put it in a readable only directory on my file server, which users cannot delete from, and put it in the login script and just had it sit there for about a week to make sure all machines had been turned on at one point in time. And at that point, the machines would boot up, a user would log in, it would run BO and automatically install itself on the machine without any user intervention or even knowledge that I'd done anything similar to that, and it wouldn't delete and it would sit there waiting for the next machine to boot up and run it also. Otherwise, in order to have it install on somebody's machine in a malicious way, there's the old problem that they came up with last time with buffer overflows and using that to execute malicious code. Or you could dig up the old, it wasn't an actual plugin, but Brian Enigma from NetNinja wrote something called Saran Wrap, where you could easily take that BO or any file and wrap it in and just confuse somebody. And you could do that to make them think it's something else. You could wrap a program that they use frequently, like ICQ, so every time they run ICQ, it reinstalls itself in case they happen to catch it. Or just take it, rename it to something like bigtits.exe, and... let them do it on their own.
Huh? Okay.
I've just been notified. I'll take one more question. Yes. The question was, if a client machine is in a mode where a screensaver is turned on and I were to hijack the controls on it, would it click it off? I don't know, but we can try to find out real fast. If a machine is in a screensaver mode, and you hijack the keyboard and try to take control if it will turn the screensaver off or not. And I'm actually having trouble because it seems like the battery's about dead on the other one. But for the record, I was just informed that we are about 10 minutes over right now. So we're going to wrap this up here right quick. I would like to thank CDC for having me do this demo, which has been kind of cool. Dildog for coding this monster. And I'd like to thank Bomber and Crusader for setting me up with some laptops so we could get this thing going. And everybody for sitting here and your interest in putting up with... me for the last hour plus. And just for the record, the screensaver was turned on and hijacking the stream alone turned it off. So without even going into the keyboard hijacking something with a screensaver on will automatically kill the screensaver. So there you have it.